You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up to get amazing odds boosts. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Hafley and Evan Rao to break down everything we saw at the last official day of dev camp. I guess they practice on Thursday before they fly out, but we're not really counting that. They played their what was supposed to be a 3-on-3 game that became a 4-on-4 game. For the rookies, Burgundy versus White, and I feel like a lot of the things that stood out were things you expected, but there were a couple handful of other things that were maybe less expected as well. So we're gonna get into this one, break it down. Burgundy officially won the game 3-2 in a shootout, thanks to, I guess, Trent Miner's goaltending in the shootout. Who only gave up one goal of the five. So,
I mean, not even just the shootout. They had three penalty shots in the third period and stopped all three.
Yeah. Trent Miner looks pretty good as far as the goaltenders are concerned. I guess if we just want to start there. Annan didn't play very much. They only played him the first of the two periods, and that was it. The rest of it was Peyton Jones and Trent Miner. Thank you for the super chat, Jacob. It's one of those scenarios in the immortal words of Randy Savage, nothing means nothing. This game having been played, all the 3 days of dev camp drills kind of mean nothing. And by the end of this weekend, after three proper hockey games have been played, this scrimmage will mean nothing. So don't read too much into it, but still, it was nice to see these guys play not real hockey, but something akin to real hockey.
Game situations.
Yep.
It was a lot nicer just to watch them actually have to make decisions at full speed and, you know, get into it. Actually play the game and not just having it be a very controlled environment.
For sure. Evan, we haven't had you on the pod for dev camp, so what things stood out to you? And you can go wherever you want.
It was nice to see some, like, dev camp. You guys have talked about it. I've been watching. You can't really take – this is all about teaching. This entire three-day thing is about teaching, fundamentals, things like that. So tonight was a little bit more put them in game situations and game-like situations, and it was just fun to see. And it was competitive, not a lot of hitting. You could tell that, you know, they're not trying to kill each other out there. Even the goalies, it's kind of hard to judge the goalies because when you watch it, like, there was long periods where nobody was really shooting the puck. It was a lot about position. It just reminded you of what the NHL overtimes have become.
Well, and why they switched to 3-on-3, because at 4v4, they figured out, everybody understood, like, just kind of pack it in the middle and don't let anything happen in that part of the ice, and you're good.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a fun night. A lot of people, seemed like a decent turnout as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it was good.
It was especially funny because nobody was there this morning.
Yeah, it was.
And then
dead for the actual camp stuff.
Folks showed out for the game, so that was fun.
Funny how that works sometimes, but yeah, it, you know, so take everything. It's still not really 100% speed, like it pretty much will be for the tournament this weekend, but nonetheless, still a lot more interesting than drills. We'll put it that way. A lot more going on in front of you there. So, where do you want to start? Do you want to start right at the tippy top with Newhook, or do you want to start elsewhere?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, he hasn't belonged all week. He didn't belong in this game. He's just a cut ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
For all the excitement about Sampo Ranta all week long, it really goes to show you the difference between, like, here's a prospect to be excited about, and here's a prospect who is in every facet completely ready for the next step.
Yep. It's funny with Newhook, right? Because by day two of the dev camp, it was like, I'm not even going to get excited about this with Newhook because he's just too good to be here. Like,
yeah, we didn't tweet about him a whole lot. We didn't talk about him a whole lot. It was like, expectations were pretty high. Expectations met. Moving on.
So it's simple work for Newhook there. I think, you know, things are pretty clear. He's going to play in this tournament as a tune-up, and then what will be through training camp and wherever he ends up in the lineup.
Fully expect him to play one game.
Yeah.
And then have them, yeah, and then they'll sit him. He'll probably play their first game and then just use the rest of the weekend to hang out.
The only thing that's interesting is, well, I guess it's not that interesting because he is a center, but they are, we all, you know, we all expect him to play the wing this year.
Yeah.
But they seem very committed that obviously this is a long-term thing, that he's going to be a center long-term and that he's playing center and, you know, his line mate Bowers is not.
Tonight. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
yeah.
Worth noting. The other guy at the top, obviously, our title guy here. It was interesting to watch. They're kind of two different guys, the way they go about things. Newhook was, you know, working at high rate of speed, 110%, it felt like, almost every shift tonight.
Yeah.
Whereas Byram was, like, straight chilling.
Well, I mean, straight chilling, but he spent almost every time he was on the ice, he spent a significant portion with the puck.
Don't get me wrong. Byram dominated this game. Like, when I say straight chilling, it just, he was freewheeling. He was trying stuff. He was like, I'm better than every kid here, and I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Well, and he was not shooting until the Newhook centering feed, where he was like, all right, well, I kind of have to.
10 feet from the net
between
the hashes. I guess I have to shoot this one. Yeah. So
it's funny because, you know, we were talking about it at dev camp yesterday. It's like the drills for defensemen in these things are, it's not set up for them to succeed. It's mostly like, hey, you guys are at a disadvantage, fundamentals, things like that. And then it's like, he got into this game. He's like, all right, guys, you're all going to learn. Like, he had the puck most of the night. Like,
yeah.
And it seemed like he was out there all the time. Like, I guess you just see how much better he is than everyone. And there's somebody that he toe dragged in the second period that it was just like, oh, that was
goodbye.
Nothing. Yeah. And then he tried, what did he do? The Bure move off his skate for the shot.
Yeah.
And hit the post. And it's just like, oh, man, this guy's ready. Like, let's just move on. Just like Newhook, he'll play one game, hopefully, and just be chill the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. It's what I expect. There isn't it's two NHL guys that are going to play for the Avs this year.
Yep.
And potentially play like meaningful roles.
Yep.
And it, yeah, I don't want to make it sound like these guys are superstars or whatever in the NHL, because they're clearly not there yet. But as far as like a good performance at in a setting like this, they didn't disappoint.
Yep.
They should look better than everyone else, and they lived up to it.
They gave no reason to pump the brakes, for sure. You're just ready to see them go into full camp, go into NHL stuff.
And to be honest with you, I would say that there were probably four or five guys that just looked like this level of play.
Yep.
Is this sounds condescending, but it's beneath them.
Yep.
They're better players than this, and there isn't a whole lot left for them at that level. And then with Byron Minnuhook, it's nothing. There's nothing left for them.
It's in tears, right? Like, there's probably three other guys there. I mean, you can get into where they fall exactly, but it's like, all right, so these guys are pro ready. Mm-hmm. AHL, get pro experience. But with Byron Minnuhook, it's like, just, we're done here. You don't even need to put them in
the AHL. Well, the other guys that you really like, that you think, okay, these guys look really good in this setting, they're all guys you could still pick. You could look at their game and you could say, that needs work, that needs work, that needs work, that needs work. And all of those things they can work on reasonably in the AHL.
Yep.
Between Bowers, Ranta, and Foodie, those are the guys, and Barron. Those are the guys where you can just say, okay, really liked a lot of everything, a lot of what happened, but still some things that you could really use.
And then they need AHL because they need to be pushed, right? They can't just be in a league where they're going to dominate and not have to work on their weaknesses. So.
Yeah, I think it was confirmed after the game by Craig Billington. I actually haven't watched that availability yet, but Jean-Luc Foudy has no business being in the OHL anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, he said he's one of the guys that gets an exemption this year, so he can play in the AHL.
We've been pretty confident all summer that once they announced that exemption that he was going to be in the AHL, but
it sure looked like it was leaning that way. So, yeah, no big surprise there.
It was nice knowing you. Sorry that you might be in real trouble.
That's how you die if you do that drinking game.
Yep, yep, yep.
That's just mean. This is cruel. So I want to get to the guys that we think are a cut above here, but I do want to touch on a couple of other guys as well. Oscar Olsson did not have a good day.
I think this week has been a good reminder of like why on draft night we were so lukewarm about it, because the size, the skating, the shot, all of that looked good throughout the week. All of that was encouraging. It was cool to see. A lot of things to feel good about there. And then you get him even into the 4-on-4 and you see decision-making with the puck. Anytime that he tried to do anything remotely creative, didn't really work that well. Yeah. Does not elevate for teammates, and his entire offensive profile is selfish.
Yep.
And that's not like selfish is a word with such a negative connotation. But you look at, like, he and Foodie are, like, exact opposite profiles. One guy has a great shot, only looks to shoot. The other guy doesn't have a very good shot and is trying to create for those guys around him.
And, I mean, Olsson was a dude, right, where coming into after he was drafted, it was like, well, if he comes over, he could play in the AHL or he could go to the OHL. Looking at this game, it's like, yeah, he should be in Barrie. He should be playing in the OHL against juniors. That's where he's going to get the work that he needs.
Yep.
So.
Oh, that guy's drinking.
Yep.
He's pretty lit.
Yeah. It's going to be a rough Wednesday morning for him.
He had some good moments or a decent moments in the offensive zone, but I would say there wasn't a whole lot of distribution from his.
Entirely a lack of consistency with the puck on the whole, I would say. And
he got worked off the puck by a guy who's right. 5 foot eight. Absolutely not.
Andreas Wingerly stood him up in the neutral zone, and it's you look at his at those two guys' frames, and you're like, Olausen needs to just truck through that guy with ease, and he didn't.
A dude that is 6'2", 6'3", and has his size should not be getting straight. Like, it's one thing for Wingerly to work him along the wall and win a puck battle, because there's going to be some
a stick there and whatever.
Like, there's you know, Wingerly's 5 years older, and he's been playing in the SHL. He's been playing pro hockey, and it's, you know, like, you can kind of veteraniness your way through a situation
get
like
a little
that.
Scrappy, but
yeah, where he's figured out how to be. But in open ice for a guy that is generously listed at 5'8", to stand him up was like, bro,
can't do that.
Yeah. You have to just run that little man over.
So, definitely a lot to work on with him. Not that this is any surprise. Again, he's only 18. This will be his D+1 year. He can go be a dominant guy in the OHL. It's not
I joked the other day, he's going to score 45 goals in the OHL this year. Like, he's going to be just fine in that league. But this was definitely a good litmus test. And at least tonight, he looked like he should be in the OHL.
Yep,
I'm excited to see 5-on-5 and where it goes and what happens when he gets like when they go on a power play and he gets an opportunity.
We can get to a couple more of these guys, but first, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get it down at the bar on tap. Highly recommend you check the bar out. It's a dope place to grab a beer, especially nowadays, because, you know, sports are happening again, and you can watch exciting Denver sports down at the bar with some Breck Brew in your hand. So check them out. Check out their hard seltzers from Good Company as well. And if you need a little bit of extra beer money, the Ball Corporation is hiring right now for their Golden Plant. You can text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com to get yourself an application. They're a great company. They're awesome to work with. They also pay living wage. They give good benefits. Thing I always bring up is they will help you with training. If you have holes in your CV and you need something to help fill it out, they will help you pay for a class or training that you need to make your resume all tip-top shape. So check them out today. Again, jobs.ball.com to get yourself an application for their plant down in Golden. And then I got to tell you, we still have some diehard shirts left in Avs colors. And For the number of y'all that showed out to this dev camp, this game, and the ones that are clamoring for a way to stream it and all of that stuff, even though that didn't exist, unfortunately, seems like the diehard shirt is right up your alley. That's all I'm saying. Check out our new Vibes collection, the diehard shirt in burgundy and blue. It is very pretty, or so I'm told. The D-Line and Co. designed a bunch of awesome shirts. If Avs shirts aren't your thing, we also have Rockies, Broncos, Nuggets colors as well. So just go look them up. They're all dope. We also have women's sizes too. So we're working on getting more shirts with women's sizes. Keep your eyes peeled for that as well. All right. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Rudo, AJ, Evan coming at you. Rounding out some of the other forwards, Alex Bocage had an interesting game. I thought he started really, really slowly, did not look great for long, but then the last 6-7 minutes of the game, they started feeding him pucks, and it was just tee-off time for that guy.
So when they got the extra attacker, they essentially set up what will be a power play unit in Loveland.
Arizona. Yeah, Loveland too. Yeah.
So it was Barron, Ranta, Bocage, Foodie, and I'm missing one.
I don't even know who it might have been. Wingerly that was out there too.
Probably Wingerly.
Yeah, it's a fair assumption. As the fifth guy, and they were running that play where Foodie was out high on the far side, and they had Barron on the left side up high in the zone with the puck, and he would give it he would move it down along the wall to Bocage, and Bocage would move it back to Baron, and then he'd move it across to Foodie, and Foodie would step into the open space of the ice and then whip it cross ice to Bocage. The first time they did it, Bocage hit the post because he took a second to gather the puck in and tried to pick a spot, and he rang one off the post. And then the next time they ran it, both Foodie and Bocage sped it up, where Foodie, instead of catching the puck, taking two steps in,
snap pass across.
Yeah. He just one touched it, perfect pass on the ice across, and Bocage one timed it. And like no Trent shot. Miner did not stand a chance.
Had on no that. Hope on that
he
one.
For did sure. not stand a chance on that at all. So he just couldn't get across quickly enough, and then Bocage hammered it home.
Yep.
The boy can shoot.
Yeah. It was a great example of what several of those guys do at a high level.
His first period, his skating looked rough to me. But yeah, you could kind of see in the second, you know, the shot is what's going to get him some chances here. And it's telling that they set up the play specifically for him to wire that thing home, and it worked. Yeah, Miner wasn't even close. I think he was still on the other side of the net when it went in.
The goal, it wasn't like it was in an incredible, like, you know, top shelf. He couldn't even, was not even remote. Like,
it was pretty middle of the net.
It was pretty middle of the net. It was just that it all happened so quickly that Miner, even having read it decently, you know, and Miner's not very big. So he's got to get over there lightning fast. It was just too quick for him.
Between the pace of that pass and the strength of Bocage's shot, it's just...
That's a lot to ask, man.
Yeah. A little bit of the cut below guys there. I'm curious kind of where you think some of the dudes we think in the tier above are at there. You have Baron, who I thought was solid, but it was a game for me for Baron where it was a lot of flash, but not quite consistent enough. You would see a good shift out of him defensively. You would see him flash a little bit of offense, and then there'd be a shift where he kind of takes it off a little bit, or he gets beat in a corner battle or something.
I didn't really see much from the defensive end from Baron. All the things that I really remember about Baron came with the puck.
Okay.
You know, where he dipped down low, carried the puck through early on in the game, and had the cross ice feed that did not end up. And then Mutala biffing the cross ice feed to him on the back door. That would have been an easy tap in goal. And, him had jumped up into the play, and he was going to have a breakaway had he gotten a better feed from who I don't remember who, but it was just a quick touch, and it was too far ahead of him.
Just sailed by, yeah.
Yeah, and so all of that, like, good instincts, though, he would have had a breakaway with a better pass. And all of that's offense. All of that was him creating and generating, and he finished with an assist on the game-tying goal. Although he didn't do anything. It's the classic secondary assist for the defenseman who just moves the puck to a guy who does something. I really didn't notice him defensively. I didn't see a whole lot there.
I think he hit the crossbar in the second period, too. He wired one. Yeah, the one thing I'll say about him defensively is that through this dev camp, and there's a moment in the game tonight where he's shown a little bit of a nastiness. He's like the one guy who's – and I haven't watched him a lot in juniors, really, so I don't know if that's part of his game, but it's some – He's a big guy. He looks really big out there compared to everyone else. So it's nice to see him show a little bit of a nasty side.
Whatever he's listed at feels small.
Yeah.
Just based on what he looks like out there.
I don't know if we will be streaming the game to the DNVR bar. That's a little bit complicated because we'd have to hook up.
Streaming a stream.
Yeah. To the TV. So I'm not going to make any promises there on that one.
I would expect, just given that it's the weekend and that there are Buffs and Rams Broncos, football games and Broncos, it would be unlikely.
So maybe watch that one from home. But
stream, because it's streamed on the team's website.
Yeah, everyone can get it from the Colorado Avalanche website. So
And the website of the opposing team, if for whatever reason
that's what you want.
Problematic.
Either way, we'll get it done for you. Moving on through, I want to get to this conversation because I know Evan's going to bring something a little bit different to the Sampo Ranta conversation. Boy. Look, AJ's trying to be the reasonable one. I'm off the rails hype mode. Let's go. Evan, give me the counter argument here.
Well, it's tough when he scores a goal like he did tonight, which granted, I think Wingerli did 95% of the work.
Ranta
in open ice with nobody in front of him and with the puck, and he makes a great move on Anadin and beats him. And it's like, it was a great move. It was a great goal, especially in light of nobody else scoring on the penalty shots that took place.
But that's Ranta's bread and butter right there. Like,
that play was notable because Wingerli did the work there.
Absolutely. Torched Olausen, basically.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about him is that when I watch him play, obviously this guy's on the team and he's turned out to be a pretty good find, but when I watch him play offensively, I get major Nichushkin vibes where he can manhandle these young guys. Like I remember when Nichushkin was coming into the league and everyone's like, this guy is going to just absolutely torch everyone. Cause he would just fly around everybody and power to the net and nobody could stop him. And that's kind of what I'm seeing from Ranta is that's his thing, is that he powers through everybody. Now I will say, I do think he has a better shot than Nichushkin, and that's something that he uses. And we've already seen it a lot in camp. So that's really the one thing I would say. But if nothing else, I think the biggest thing for a guy like him is that he realizes that he is bigger and stronger than everybody and he uses it. So calling a guy that he reminds me of Nichushkin right now and he's a third round pick is like, you know,
it's
not putting the guy down, really. That'd be a great find in the third round.
It's one of those interesting things because you saw it in the 4-on-4 tonight a lot. In the offensive zone with the puck on his stick, it's great that he's capable of holding onto the puck and skating laps in the offensive zone. It's great that he has that ability, but especially once you get into the pro level, you find it a lot harder for doing stuff like that to be effective unless you're, you know, a unbelievably good player like a McKinnon can do that somewhat consistently. But for someone like Ranta, I do want to see a little bit more consistently distributing the puck effectively in the offensive zone, because he's not just going to be able to power by everyone, as you were saying, once he's going up against full grown men. So we'll see on that, but his skating is amazing. I love to watch him just skater circles around dudes in the offensive zone. His power is certainly good enough for something like this.
Hey, keep the Everberg slander out of here.
He used his skating to get back too, I think, at times in this game, so that was nice to see. Still, I felt like there were a couple of times where there was some crosswire, some confusion on some breakouts with some of his defensemen. How much of that is they've known each other for 2 days, how much is that is, you know, it's something to keep an eye on with Ranta. We know how well does he actually think the game actively. We'll see. So yeah. Fair enough.
You can only at young, these small 18, 19 year olds, you can flex and bust out of anything. And then we'll see how he does in camp against the big guys. But, yeah, he is a really good skater for a guy that big. And that's a lot like Nichushkin. I guess that's the vibes I'm getting.
All right, let's...
I mean, right now he would be the exact opposite of Nichushkin.
Yeah.
Where he's all offense and no defense, and Nichushkin is all defense, no offense.
Same body type, a bit of same style, but yeah, the other side of the rink. Okay. I want to talk about Wingerli in this segment as well. Do you think he's an NHLer right now, today, snap decision? Obviously, you've only seen him against kids, but he had the very nice play to set up Ranta's goal. He had a great shootout goal, the only guy to score on Minor in the shootout. And overall, you saw him working on the forecheck, doing a lot of those things that you know a coach is going to see and like.
It's hard to say. I will say he's caught my eye. I kind of forgot about him 2 weeks ago, and then seeing him this weekend, he's caught my eye, and now I'm intrigued to see how he looks against these NHL guys. But if he is going to be like, he's got a little nastiness to his game, so that might, you know, give him a chance in camp. So we'll see. I'm not going to say he's an NHL guy right now, though.
I still have some significant concerns in the defensive zone. A couple of shifts where he was defending Newhook, and granted, yes, it's Alex Newhook, but Newhook spun off him and created space off him pretty darn easily a couple of times where it's like...
Yeah, like he's going to be physically overmatched.
Of course.
Even more so in the NHL, and it's going to be every shift.
Yeah.
But he should be comfortable with that reality, though. That's been his whole pro life. He's never been big, so it's not like he's had to make some adjustment to being the little guy, right?
Yeah.
I think he's comfortable in his own skin, but is he an NHL or no? I would say could be one of the depth guys. Obviously, have to see what he does against that competition, but just based on what we've seen this week, and it sucks because like. The role that he's going to play is going to be limited fourth line, go forecheck.
Of course.
You know, get on the PK, block a shot, do the little things, get dirty. And this is not the week for that. But from what we've seen, you know, he's a really smooth skater. He's got a snappy little shot whenever he wants to. He's not lacking skill, that's for sure. But it's not – I don't think he's an NHL player.
All right.
Just based on what we saw this week.
Cole in the chat wants to hear our Klerman thoughts. We'll get that in real quick.
He was there?
Yep.
Yeah, he flubbed a lot of pucks today.
AJ and I were talking. It's the most Nate Klerman thing where he had a ton of errant passes in the offensive zone, and then out of nowhere he creates a break almost single-handedly.
Yeah, he had that little give-and-go sequence in the offense where he dumped it down and then cut to the middle and
– Yep.
Just put it wide, and you know, I like the instincts defensively. He had some good stick work, with them not really bodying guys up. What one of the aspects of his game that he's going to bring to the table didn't really get to be seen.
At least
he was okay.
For the rookie tournament, him and Diastis looked like it could be a fun little shutdown pair there.
I really liked his defense, Diastis. Yeah. He was really – that was really quite – it was interesting because I liked him in some of the drills that I saw, but I didn't like his feet. And then we saw him when he got hemmed into his own zone. He's really good along the wall. He's really good behind the net. He mucks and grinds really well. Looks like he's very comfortable in that kind of environment. I don't think he's got any puck skill at all.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
We're talking about in the realm of this rookie tournament and nowhere beyond in that case.
Yep. He could be a decent, I think Diastis, he could be a decent AHL depth guy. I like him a lot more than Miles Gendron. That's for sure.
Rough day for him.
Bro, if you're in a 2-on-1.
And Alex Newhook is the other guy.
If Alex Newhook and you have the puck and you sail that thing 2 feet wide and it rims out and it creates a break the other way, shouldn't get to play the rest of the game. I mean, that's a failure on every level. It's just dumb. It's just dumb.
All right. Well, don't be a failure on every level when it comes to betting on sports. Use DraftKings Sportsbook. If you slacked, we told you to get the offer for week one to get your $1 bet in to get $200 in free bets. DraftKings being generous, they're giving you another week. Bet on any week two football game is a new account, $1. Just have to bet $1, and they will give you $200 in free bets no matter what. You don't have to win. You don't even have to wait for the end of the week. Just make the bet, and they will give you $200 in free bets on the spot. So jump on it. Use the code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get this free $200 in bets. I guess you have to bet a dollar, so it's not technically free, but it's basically free. You have to bet the $1 to pick them up. DraftKings is a super safe and reliable and secure website, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. You can also download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the DNVR code to get that $200 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, they are an official betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. When you win a bunch of money on DraftKings, go buy yourself some meat from Hassle Cattle Company. You can go to HassleCattleCompany.com to place your order. If you want to try before you buy, we got the Wagyu burger from Hassle down at the DNVR bar. Everyone seems to love it and always tells me it's delicious. So go eat it and love it, and then go buy some more from HassleCattleCompany.com. Use code DNVR10 online with Hassle to get 10% off your purchase. If you want to do a group order or something, you spend $200 or more, get all of their amazing steaks. You can get free shipping as well. Need to psych yourself up for that. You think that's a lot of meat? Maybe you just need the munchies? Hit up Solace Meds. Solace has all sorts of offers for you in store, ranging from 15 to 25% off on select products. You can also check out online at solacemeds.com. Schedule a pickup, get 20% off when you use code DNVR20. They have 4 locations in Colorado, so even if you're up in northern Colorado by Fort Collins, they got a location for you. Check them out. Get yourself the good cannabis that you need. And if you go to the Wheat Ridge location, they will also give you a free King Cone with any in-store purchase. So, yeah, that about covers it. That should be everything you need. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by that DraftKings Sportsbook. All right. Of the big names, we still have Foodie and Bowers to talk about, gentlemen. I'll let you take the floor. Who do you want to go with?
I can go with either one of them. I think we can start with Foodie just because you said his name first, and that's how my brain works.
Sold.
There's a lot to like. He's fantastic skater. It's got to be the number. Like, the fact that he's wearing 93 is just giving me Zibanejad vibes. Like, the way he plays, and he's big. He uses, like, a super long stick, too.
Oh, Lord.
What? That's how my brain. But, no, I really like the guy. And I am – you guys are all about him going to the AHL, and I'm like, well – offensively, what's going to be best for him to develop? I guess is it playing more in juniors, or
I think he'd be in the, because he'd be on the top line in the OHL, he'd be on the top power play and all that. And right now, he's probably slated for 3C again in Loveland, so it's a fair argument.
Yeah, that's really my only question about his development, because I do think it. What we saw, he looked more pro ready than some of these guys that. Yeah, I mean, he plays a very pro style game from what I could see. So I'm pretty impressed considering his age and kind of where he was taken and everything like that. He's pretty strong player.
Yep. I think I would prefer him in the AHL. I think he'll be just fine. Like, I'd be a little concerned if he goes back to the OHL that dude's just going to step on the gas and blow kids out every shift with his speed instead of, you know, focusing on finding other ways to be effective like he can in the AHL a little bit.
Downside is that playing 12 minutes a night in the AHL.
Reduced opportunity for sure. Yeah.
And playing a really, really, really pass heavy style only.
Yep.
Because he knows he can be successful doing that. And doesn't ever have to like work and develop that shot. Like, there are pros and cons to each of those. When you make that argument for, yeah. Oh, he's going to go in the OHL. Well, he can just outskate kids.
You tell him to pull the trigger on every shot though. Yeah.
You know, in the AHL, he's going to lean too heavily on line mates. Cause he knows that he's not going to be able to get away with his shot being what it is right now.
Yeah, that's also fair. Not going to argue against it. So, Foodie's exciting. I think part of what makes Foodie exciting is the fact that he's only 19, right? Like, you're not in any hurry to get this kid to the NHL or anything. You know he has a couple more years of development, whether it be the OHL or AHL this year, to go. And for him to look as good as he does already is exciting.
Yeah, I really liked what I saw. A lot of transition, a lot of carrying it out. There was that one time where he like circled back and I was like, what are you doing? And then he just skated right by that guy and it was like, okay.
Yep.
There you go. That's much better. The playmaking and the creativity and the passing, though, it's so good already. Honestly, when he fills out, he gets a little bit of strength on him because he's pretty wiry. And his skating did not look great in drills. And then you watch him in open ice and the guy just, he takes flight and you're like, okay, well.
He used it effectively too. I thought he was one of the better players as far as positional play. He can rotate back when a defenseman pinches in. There were a couple of plays where he was the last man back of the four guys out on Team White. So he puts it to good use even when he doesn't have the puck.
Well, and when he tries to play so high up in the offensive zone on a regular basis, and he understands, if I do this, like I'm in the defenseman pinches, I've got to stay.
You're the guy who's...
Yeah. And we saw him consistently, because it was something I was paying close attention to, was when he was doing that, when they were switching and rotating, I was keeping a close eye on how does he handle this defensively. And he was doing the right thing. He was keeping himself in position to get back, help defensively, and make sure that he does not hang his line out to dry. It's just really high hockey IQ all over the ice. Everything that he's doing, it's just, he's reading the ice at a high level. It's just really smart hockey. And when you combine it with his, with the playmaking and the skating, I don't know that I would agree with you that he's a couple years away.
I think he's 2 years away.
I would say that because of where the Avs are, they can afford to give him another two full seasons and not really think about it.
Sure.
But I think by the start of next season, he's probably going to be tempting.
Well,
as a depth, especially if he stays at center, and if he could start to, if he plays 3C with the Eagles this year and he really starts to develop a defensive game. I mean, you threw out Phil Deneau to me today.
Yeah. Well, I said without the defensive ability, right, but I mean, stylistically,
I would say that would be a really smart development track for the Avs, is try and get him.
Go pull him aside and say, hey, we want you to be this guy.
Yeah, and if they could get him to really commit to an excellent defensive game,
yeah,
and he turns into that kind of shutdown guy for them, it would be huge, because his style, like, nothing against Tyson Jost, but his style of play surely fits their identity a whole lot better than what Jost does.
Yep, definitely does. But as you mentioned, the Avs have the luxury of him only being 19, and they don't need to rush him. Unfortunately, on the other side of that coin is Shane Bowers, who it feels like
is out of time.
It's now or never. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I asked Billington about him, and he gave the old standard. Nobody's ready. Not everyone is ready to play right away. Some guys take time, and nothing I've seen this weekend makes me like changes my mind of like, why the hell have we not seen this guy play at least one game? Like, AJ, we watched Liam O'Brien last year,
literally every day of camp,
every single day. Every time we would talk about Bowers, it was like, I don't get it. Don't understand why he's not in the NHL. Why he's not getting a look in the NHL. Like, it's one thing if he got three games and he played like shit, like Kout did last year.
Yeah.
You know, where like the short stints really went poorly, but he didn't even get a look. He barely got taxi squad time. I mean, he feels buried, and it's confusing to see. He's so smart and polished, does so many things well. And yeah, like, he does not dominate. He doesn't overwhelm with skill. He's not brimming with the same kind of tool set that certainly Newhook and even, you know, and Olausen and even Ranta and Foodie and Bocage, like those guys all have something on offense where you're just like, holy smokes, you can see where this would be successful in the NHL. Bowers just doesn't really have that thing that carries him. It's all IQ. It's all try hard. He's an extension of the coaching staff on the ice. He should be a coach's dream. He's so smart and he's such a hardworking guy and he's such a good skater and he's got such good size. It makes no, it is the opposite of normal.
And it almost seems like he was that first year, you know, Bednar absolutely loved him in that first training camp. And then yeah.
That's my hope is that he gets into a preseason game because Bednar actually gets to see him in preseason again and be like, oh yeah, there we go. Now he's not a first-year pro. He's a third-year pro. Maybe we need to take a look at this. Because you guys mentioned his skating. Like, he blew by those guys on that chip pass by Byram.
Yeah.
It was straight up. I mean, just smoked those guys. Won the foot race, and then the guy tried to – I don't remember who it was, but he tried to hold him, and he just fought him off with one arm, and then – Use the other arm to power through. He just blew right by all of them, and then, you know, scores on the breakaway, and it's just like, dude.
Yep.
Just does. Because you mentioned he's not high skill. Yeah, there's something like the 2-on-1. I think he was trying to feed Byron backdoor, and he just kind of flubbed his backhand pass.
Yeah.
But it was just a lot of little things like resetting in the defensive zone. Giving your teammates space and digging pucks out of the corner, things like that.
Every little detail is so polished with him, and that's the part where it's like he looks like an NHLer in those territories.
But, yeah, and it's like, look, dude, even if this guy in the NHL is just a fourth line guy, why are you dicking around with the Darren Helms of the world when you have a guy like this right here that you're developing and you're doing all this work? Like, this is today and seeing him in the game is exactly why this has been frustrating to watch over the last one, because this is who he is. And he's not going to dominate the AHL and put up, you know, 30 points in 30 games or something. He's not going to do that. It's not who he is. It's not what he does well. And it's weird and frustrating that it continues to be like a thing held against him that an NHL role player is not just destroying on the scoreboard. What good did it do TJ Tynan to be a point and a half per game in the AHL? He would get to the NHL. He can't play the role that's being asked of him. He's a skilled guy and asking to muck and grind, he couldn't do it. And it was like, okay, well, he's miscast in that role. You've got a guy that you're developing that is perfect for that role. What are we doing here?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just really hopeful that he plays the way he did preseason 2 years ago again.
Yeah, if he comes out of this season without an NHL game, I do really think the Avs.
If he hasn't played an NHL game, you know, by the middle of the year, he's absolutely like the guy where you're like, okay, he's the guy who gets traded at deadline. That's the deadline's prospect swap they make or whatever.
And some team will absolutely put him in their NHL lineup and the Avs will go, oops, guess we should have tried that.
Yeah, and like when you look at how Grimaldi has succeeded in Nashville, it's like, look, they boofed, like Jared Bednar missed that.
Yep.
He missed that. And maybe he didn't think that he could get Grimaldi to that level in his system or whatever, but like Jared Bednar put that guy in games and was wrong to let him they just missed it. They had that guy. They traded for that guy. They targeted him, traded for him, watched him be that guy, and then just let him walk. And we're like, oh, well, this isn't going to work out for us. And he goes into Nashville and immediately proves them wrong. And so for all of the good that the Avs pro scouting has done in recent years, you know, the Jacob McDonald find and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not like they haven't done a good job for the most part in finding guys.
Don't want to take any of that away from them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They've been wrong. They've been wrong before. And Grimaldi was a good example of that. And it makes me wonder if that's where we're headed
with Bowers,
with Shane Bowers, where he's going to be the Ryan Graves on the prospect swap.
Yep.
The Avs are going to give him up and he's going to go and do, he's going to go and be successful elsewhere. And whatever they get back may or may not work out, but that guy's going to go on to have a nice solid NHL career as a depth center. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating that he hasn't gotten the look. It's frustrating that this feels so predictable.
Yep. Yep. I think that's most of it. Any other ATOs y'all want to talk about? Any surprises, anything like that?
I mean, I talked to Brian Hofer throughout the week. Got into a game and decision-making at any speed became problematic.
Yep.
Hockey IQ immediately jumped out and was a concern. I still like the size. I really want to see 5-on-5 because I really think in 4-on-4, like, your responsibilities are a little magnified.
He needs to cover significantly more ground at 4-on-4.
Yeah. And at 5v5, I really want to just see him keep it simple, use the size, go to the net,
yep,
battle hard. I want to see that. I really want to see Jack O'Brien. There were some moments with the puck. I liked them. Some intriguing stuff. Pulling for him, hoping he has a good weekend. I think he's going to see quite a bit of time.
That's who I was going to say. It's O'Brien. He's listed at 6 foot. That doesn't seem right. He's listed at 154. That looked right tonight. Like, he was getting knocked off the puck. But it shows that they like him because he was playing with Bowers most of the night in the 4-on-4. So I think they see something there. But he's got some skill. So the other guy that I kind of liked, I don't know if he's an undersized defenseman, but 89 Savoy, I think is probably how you say it. But
yeah,
I kind of liked him. He seems like a smart little player.
He made a number of good defensive plays, one of them on Byram.
Yeah. So that's about it.
I did like Swart a bit too. I think he was pretty consistently solid. So some puck skill issues there, of course.
But I don't think there's any, man.
There were a couple in the offensive zone. Maybe puck skill is the wrong word. Maybe decision making is the correct word with some of the passes he's trying to thread through the zone. But either way, it should be fun. I know the guy in the chat asked for biggest disappointments as well. I'm not going to take any disappointments from 3 days of dev camp and a 4-on-4 thing. It's just not worth.
Nope. I mean, again, like, we've seen guys at the, like, Makar was just okay at some of the stuff.
Right.
And did it matter?
Nope.
You know, so there was really not a disappointment, I would say.
Maybe the
biggest disappointment is that something's apparently wrong with Nick Henry to the point that he's not in the games.
Had no contact for the whole thing.
Yeah, and then did not participate tonight, and I would like to see that. So I would like to see him. He's an interesting player.
Yep. Yeah. It's hard to see him magically healing over the next 2 days too, to really play in the tournament.
Yeah. Whatever's bothering him. I don't know, man. Whatever's bothering him is.
Go play some real games. That's what I say. Let's go.
Yep.
Get to the real stuff.
Like I said, none of this means anything at 5 PM on Friday night when they start playing real hockey games. So yeah, keep your eye out for that. We're going to get out of here for the day. We are off tomorrow as AJ is making the long drive down to Arizona, but we'll be back Thursday and then post game Friday. Well, no, we'll be off Friday too. We're doing that one Saturday morning. It's a weird schedule the next couple days, but the next time you will see us is Thursday.
We'll have two pods on Saturday.
There you go. So keep your eyes peeled. Be sure to tune in. We appreciate all y'all in the chat. Even the late hours, there's still a bunch of you in here. So thank you. We will get out of here, and we'll talk to you all Thursday, I guess.
Yo, You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.